Welcome again to Starbase Indy 2017's Klingon Programming Track. The second panel is Honorable Klingon Episodes and Moments, hosted by Jen Baum, the Klingon Pop Warrior.
We are the Honorable Klingon Episodes and Characters panel. To start off with some quick introductions, I am the moderator, but I really just threw down my name and suggested the panel. My real name is Jen Ucelis. My Klingon name is Jen Baum. I am the Klingon pop warrior. I sing pop and rock songs translated into Klingon. And I'll have a concert tomorrow. Plug. And my first Klingon Star Trek memory. I was not actually big into Star Trek even when it was on TV, but I vaguely remember watching Deep Space Nine with my mom when it first came out. But I was in high school, and back then, like, you had to have your VCR programmed if you actually wanted to watch stuff, and our VCRs were all programmed to record the soaps, and I was a theater nerd, so I didn't get to really dictate what was going on after hours. So if I wasn't home, I didn't get to watch it, and I was hardly ever home because I was a kid with a part-time job. But then my first, like, real Klingon memory then was, like, getting involved in a Klingon Christmas Carol in 2010, and that was really what launched me into Klingon fandom. So I've literally only been a Star Trek fan, like a hardcore Star Trek fan, for like 7 years. But I really, like, dove into the deep end of the pool once I was in. I was, like, all in. I'm a level one Klingon speaker. And, like I've just gone all in now.
Was that the year I came up to teach?
Probably, yeah.
Was that the first year?
That was my first year. And, like, I got really into the Klingons because I really liked their credo. And I liked the warrior culture. And I was an actor with a gig. So I was trying to just get into it for that. And then I just kind of jumped in. I really liked watching the episodes. I got really into the Klingon episodes for studying them, or for studying for the show. And then it all kind of went from there.
It just snowballs, right?
Yeah.
One day you're just sitting watching a TV show, and the next day you're sitting in front of a bunch of people wearing weird costumes.
Wearing a Klingon Elsa costume and talking about my favorite Klingon episodes.
Right. Me?
Introduce yourself.
My name is Chris Lipscomb. My Klingon name is Kur.
It means beans.
Yes, it does. My first Klingon Star Trek memory, I don't know, it was Next Generation was probably my first real Star Trek Klingon introduction or memory kind of thing, because that aired like late 80s. I wasn't really a fan of the movies up until that point. I had watched Star Trek 3 and liked it, but Next Generation was really the show that hooked me. It was, you know, my target I was their target demographic, so it's like, bam, okay, easy to hook. What drew me to Klingons? Wow. I was a big Fetty. A big Fetty fan. And then a friend of mine at school gave me a tape, Conversational Klingon. And I delve into that and read it or listened to it, and then we got Power Klingon. I listened to that, and then Conversational Klingon, and that drew me in. And as I listened to these tapes and read these works, I learned more about the Klingon credo and mindset, and that's what kind of drew me to it. Their honorable nature, their devotion to their you know, almost single-mindedness, their devotion to the Empire, to their houses, to themselves. Like, they take no crap from anybody, and just they do what needs to be done when it needs to be done. They don't sit around and talk about stuff. If something needs to get fixed, they fix it. If something's needs to get broken, they break it. They just do. They don't ponder the consequences of what they're doing until long after they've done it, and then they don't even ponder the consequences. As far as I remember. Anyway.
Yeah, we're not really big ponderers.
No.
Which is
they don't procrastinate. They just get right in there and they do it.
That's probably why I like them, because I'm really terrible about thinking things through. I very much like to just go from the gut and do it, and if it doesn't go right, I get angry about it, which I feel like is super Klingon. And my husband's like, you know, if you just, like, come up with a plan and work the plan, you wouldn't be so upset right now. And I'm like,
who has time to make plans?
There's no time for planning. That's crazy talk. So the next sort of section of this, I guess, was to kind of talk about favorite episodes. Like, and like, do you have a favorite, like, the one
favorite
Klingon episode?
It's a difficult question. There's so many really good ones, and they all like jump to mind. Everything from that first, you know, the Next Generation episode. A Matter of Honor.
Oh God, when Riker goes over to the ship.
Oh, I'm thinking of the first season episode.
Part of
Glory. That's it.
Ah, yeah.
And that's our first like real look at Klingon culture from a Klingon point of view. Up until that point, it was always from the Federation point of view. We always saw, you know, from the movies and stuff, it's always they're the bad guys. They don't have a lot of their own culture. We had a language for them, which gave us some stuff. But that episode really like opened my eyes and gave us our first look at like the Klingon death howl, some rituals to really start to flesh out these people. And then, yeah, Matter of Honor just continues that process and really brings all the Klingonness to the Next Generation. What about you? What's your...
My favorite, when I think about it, you know, now that I just said A Matter of Honor, I'm like, oh, yeah. Like
that's the problem. Is you go, Way of the Warrior. Oh, it's a great...
It's a good... But my favorite episode that... Especially, like, it was one of my favorite episodes when I was working on A Klingon Christmas Carol and really thinking about warriors was... It's a Deep Space Nine episode, Once More Unto the Breach. And the episode, Kor comes back to the ship, and he's an old warrior now, and he's the Dahar Master, and everybody's in so much awe of him. But the whole premise of the episode is basically, like, what happens to a warrior when he's too old to fight? And, like, that is such a, like, a gut punch of a sort of, conceptually, like, that's really just a fascinating concept. And it goes to how we treat people as they age and things like that. And they treat him terribly. Like, and you find out he's actually, throughout the course of the episode, he's actually losing his memory. And so he's mixing up events and he's just not the warrior that he was anymore. And now he's an old man and he can't really fight. And then he goes out in a blaze of glory and it's a beautiful ending. It actually, when I rewatched it for a podcast recently, I was finishing it up and I was kind of crying. I was like, oh, that's so beautiful. He just sacrificed himself for the good of the Empire. That's so beautiful.
And he has some wonderful speeches.
Yeah. There's just some beautiful moments throughout that whole episode where there's another older warrior on the same ship because they end up on Martok's ship. And Martok did not want him there because he had slighted Martok earlier in life. And that was another thing, too, in that episode. You get a little bit, you learn a little bit about the classes and the class system
social
a little bit more.
Yeah.
And the social structure and the fact that there are, like, dirt poor Klingons versus, you know,
uber
higher.
Wealthy, yeah.
Right. And, like, Martok married up. Like, he married a wealthy lady when you meet, God, I love Sirella. I think I've got some quotes in here somewhere from her because she's crazy. A friend of mine named their cat Sirella, totally unrelated, and I was the first person when they posted a picture and was like, Sirella's doing this, and I was like, yeah, she is. That's what a Klingon woman would do. And they're like, you're the first person who understood our cat was named after a Klingon. I'm like, who misses that? Not me. But yeah, that's my favorite episode. Now, the one thing I had put a little thing here about, like, what did the writers do right versus, like, what did the writers do wrong in that episode. And one of the things that really peeves me, and like, I don't know if it's because I'm, like, a new speaker, and I'm, like, so... And I spent so much time focusing on, like, learning pronunciation and stuff like that, but it's just... The pronunciation on the TV show is, like, the Klingon is so poorly done. Like, it's so bad. So the word nuknech is a Klingon greeting. It means, what do you want? And it's nuknech, this nice throaty kind of sound at the end. And when Kor walks into Worf's office, he's like, nuknay. And I'm like, no.
He's from Southern.
He's from, yeah. And like, there's so many, and a lot of times there's this concept of dialects and things like that, and people are, you know, forgiving, but I just don't want to be forgiving anymore. And now we have Star Trek Discovery, and the pronunciation is so good on Star Trek Discovery comparatively that I'm just like, yeah, I'm unforgiving now of the crap. They also wrote this great song that they sing as like, they sing in his honor after he, and they're like raising blood wine after Kor has like gone and done what he needed to do, and they're singing this song, and I went looking, I was like, I want to learn that song, oh that's great, and then I look it up and it means absolutely nothing. Like the writers just threw a bunch of syllables on a piece of paper and were like, good enough. And it's so frustrating because that's Deep Space Nine. At this point they have had an established language, like they have had Klingon Kol for since like Star Trek 3, and like now we're in like the last season of Deep Space Nine, and they're just like scribbling crap on a piece of paper and like shoving it at the actors, and like, it's Klingon enough. And and people have tried to retcon it and be like, it's this and that, and I'm like, no, it's crap.
Don't do that.
Don't do that. But it's a beautiful song. Like when they're singing it, I'm like, yeah. Feeling it, yeah. But it means nothing. It means nothing.
They reused it in Star Trek Online as well.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. They have Kayless sing it.
I tried to play that game recently, totally unrelated. I played it for about 30 minutes and it was a hot mess.
It's a tricky game to get.
I did. I killed a guy and that was good enough for me.
What you need to do, right?
We're gonna like blow through this. That's all right though.
So, well, we could ask our audience members what their favorite episodes are.
Do you have a favorite Klingon episode?
Is that like an episode? I think it's a situation. It's in Deep Space Nine, and it kind of gave a little bit of kind of humorous insight into Klingon and personal relationships and romantic relationships. But it was when Sisko was getting married, and Martok was talking about, because I think he had some kind of situation where they were in a fight or something.
Yes!
So he was talking about how him and Sirella, you know, that it's just this constant war and battle, and that he may win some battles, but she always wins the war. But kind of what I got from it is like, Klingon men are like terrified of their women. that's always kind of stuck with me. I just thought that was so funny. You always see the Klingon, like the big burly men, and
yeah.
You see the Klingon women from time to time, and it's like, yeah, they're kind of like more badass.
That's really funny because I actually was looking for something last night. I was looking for a specific scene and quote. I ended up watching that one, and it is great. He's like, she'll win the war. He's so jealous.
But he's so happy about it as well. It's not a bad thing. He's like, yes.
He talks to her like she's this god, and, you know, this goddess.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, and
he's more like, maybe she'll beat me when I get home tonight. Right. You know, it's like, it's not a bad thing for him at all. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Alan, do you have a favorite episode?
No.
Yeah.
No, you don't have a favorite episode out of all of the different.
Actually, the one with the augments.
In Enterprise?
Mm-hmm.
Because those are the ones where they took pains to get the language right.
Yeah.
Where Brent Spiner says,
yes.
Speaks.
Yeah, that was the first time I was watching a Star Trek series, and it was shortly after I took the test, and we did a full watch through of Enterprise, and so I was at the end of Enterprise, and it was an episode where the augments had boarded the ship, and they go, and one of them gets shot at, or they're getting shot at, and they're like, Julia Chop or something like that. It is like, get to the transporter or something like that. And I wasn't even looking at the subtitles. Mm-hmm. Like I happened to be like glancing down, and I was like, oh, I understood that. Like,
yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, they said it right. I was so excited. That's how I've been about watching Discovery as well. Like,
right.
Really
the last season of Enterprise, they really did do a 360 or 180 and. It was getting better.
Oh God, they just dug themselves. They dug themselves such a hole with that terrible third season. The third season was so bad. The freaking Zindi. Oh God.
So now, least favorite episodes
are
the Zindi ones.
But there's no
Klingons.
I don't know if I have any least favorite Klingon episodes in the long run. I didn't like that moment in is it Day of the Dove in, well, there's a lot of things I don't like about the original series, but Mara is the first, quick shout out to Mara, she's the first Klingon woman you meet in the series, in the shows. And but that moment, there's a moment in the hallway where Chekhov like loses his damn mind, and he like pins her up against a wall, like pins Mara against a wall and rips her thing, and I'm like, girlfriend, you are a Klingon, fight back. Like, I got really angry about that. And maybe it was because I was watching it all retrospectively, too, where, it, like, things had been more established, and they weren't
right.
very established at that point. But
wasn't there a lot of mind control and weird stuff?
There was. So maybe the mind thing was making her docile. I don't know. I didn't like that scene.
She's also part human, which also kind of changes things.
They didn't know what to do with her.
No.
Yeah.
They really
didn't.
The same thing that they did with human, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you only had one female.
And the next time we see a Klingon woman, she gets blown to pieces within like 5 minutes. So it's just like, they don't, it's not until Lursa and Bator really come along that they, I think, get into it and realize, okay, we can have strong, powerful female characters who aren't just there for eye candy, or aren't just there to for people to look at, and then we can we can just jump in and actually tell good stories with these characters, and they kept coming back. And
it was okay for them to be strong because they were bad guys.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. We're so good at being the bad guys.
my favorite one, my favorite episode was, I don't know the name of it, was one in Deep Space Nine, Martok, and War for Capture by the Gamcon.
Yes.
The Dominion.
The Dominion.
And Worf has to constantly fight each of these guys, you know, like seven rounds and seven days.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, the top green, you know, he says, kill him. He says, you know, I can't defeat him. I can only kill him.
Right.
You know, it's like, that said more to me than any other episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Worf keeps getting up, even though Martok's telling him, stay down. He's like, no, I'm going to keep fighting until he kills me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll never surrender.
I like to joke, like, as far as characters go, just jump down. Worf is actually one of my least favorite Klingon characters. I feel like I always say that Jadzia Dax is a better Klingon than Worf. And
Worf is the expat who lives in a foreign country, reads all the books about the country he came from, but really doesn't have a feeling for how that country and society works within it. And so he's kind of, he's book smart about Klingons, but he's not experience smart about Klingons.
Right.
And so he gets a lot of little bits wrong that, you know, it's because he's trusting some Federation researcher who's put it all down. And that Federation researcher has no clue what they're really talking about. And it's that kind of situation, I think. You have a lot of Worf who, he's a strong character, and he gives us a good stereotypical look at Klingons. Kind of thing. He's like the stereotype Klingon. He obeys all the rules that he thinks are in place for Klingons.
Yeah.
And then as he's exposed to Kern and the rest of the Klingon Empire, he over time changes and mellows out and realizes that Klingons aren't all sticks up their butts. They want to have parties and they have fun. And if they're not fighting, they don't care if they're drinking next to the guy they were fighting 20 minutes ago.
Right.
And maybe fighting 20 minutes in the future. As long as it's all done in good fun kind of thing. They just, it's like fighting isn't a bad thing.
And that actually, my favorite Klingon character is Kalar.
Mm-hmm.
And poor dead Kalar. If you've ever seen Susie Plaxton at a convention, she always refers to Kalar as poor dead Kalar. And like, and it's really one of the like the most heartbreaking things, the fact that she did not, they should have kept that character around. And I feel like the writers probably knew that after they axed her, but and part of the reason that I like her is because she's not afraid to call Worf out on his stick up the butt bullcrap. One of my favorite scenes with her is right after, I think it's in the first episode where she comes back. I actually scribbled down notes last night because I was like, I don't want to forget this. And she walks in and he says, "You're late. Sorry, I had to make myself look beautiful. I fail to understand why. Worf, we're alone now. You don't have to act like a Klingon glacier. I don't bite." Well, that's wrong. I do bite. And I love that. But like calling him out on just being like, look, man,
I know more about these Klingons than you do, kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm half Klingon. Like, she's.
Yeah, that's an interesting episode because it also set up that whole the oath thing, that then they rapidly changed and went in a different direction for Deep Space Nine and kind
right.
of oh so now Worf at one point was perfectly happy to say like five words and be married
right
and then all of a sudden he wanted this big luxurious it's his wedding that he wants it's just right. like I'm confused here. Why didn't he want to do that with the other lady?
Right. Yeah. I don't think it is. It's like, do you have to enter into my house?
And right, and all this stuff. And
jump
before,
through all these
right,
hoops.
Before it was just you said like three words and you were done.
I did feel like it was kind of like, there's, you know, those cultures supposedly where you like, you know, you turn around three times and say, I don't want to marry you anymore. I don't want to be married anymore. Like, I feel like that's the opposite is the Klingon
mm-hmm.
wedding. It's just like, let's say five words and now we're married.
Right.
Like,
and they kind of went back to it with the House of Quark episode.
Yes.
Where Quark gets his divorce and you're divorced. You know? It's like, but wait a second. What, no ritual this time?
No. No, you don't need a ritual.
And she's another strong female.
Kaelor? Or
no,
Grilka?
That's Grilka, yeah.
Yeah.
Grilka's that's another really good episode.
And she comes back, too,
yes.
doesn't she? There's the... oh, God, I think I wrote that down. There's a great scene where you really, like, dive into Klingon mating rituals. And it's right after Worf and Jadzia hook up. And it's but Grilka is it's a Deep Space Nine episode. God, there's so much good shit on Deep Space Nine. Pardon
mm-hmm.
my French. I've got a mouth like a sailor. The
Mid.
What?
Mid, not shit.
but they're in the sick bay and like it's Grilka and Quark and Julian's like listing off this litany of things that he's saying. It's a compound fracture of the right radius, two fractured ribs, torn ligaments, strained tendons, numerous contusions, bruises and scratches. What have you been doing? And Quark looks at Grilka and says, you mean we? And then Grilka starts stroking his ears. And he's like, nope, never mind. I don't want to know. And at the same moment, then Dax and Worf walk in after they've been like in the holodeck
yeah,
or something.
And his hands all disheveled and she's full.
And they're bruised and cut up and yeah. And they're like, and they walk in and he's like, I don't even want to know. Like.
Which kind of reminds me of the episode with Neelix when he's trying to court that Klingon lady who has forced for Harry Kim. In that one
oh,
episode
man.
Of Voyager.
I don't think I've made it that far in
you don't
Voyager.
I don't think you've made it that far. That's another fun episode because Harry Kim's trying to get rid of the Klingon lady who's pursuing him all over the place. And while Neelix is trying to get with the Klingon woman, so at one point she's like talking to Harry in the corridor and Neelix comes in and just like punches Harry and pushes him away and she's all like ooh and then they go off and then at the end of the episode he ends up sharing quarters with Tuvok for that episode so Tuvok shows up to his quarters tries to get in the door's locked and he bangs on the door and Neelix you hear his voice and he says something I don't remember what it is and he comes over and the door opens and he's all his clothes are half off and she's all messed up and she kind of comes out behind him straightening herself up and he's like oh I just need to tidy up a bit in here and everything in the room is smashed to pieces
yes.
and all of his
I love it.
Kaltar sets and stuff, or Kalto, whatever that game is,
that,
all on the floor. And
that episode of Deep Space Nine is called Looking for Parmok in all the wrong places, and it's, yeah, kind of a perfect episode title.
Which is one of those words that I just made up, and then we had to retcon it.
Parmok.
Yeah.
And now I have a song, Parmok
nice.
Cobb.
Is that supposed to be Ferengi?
Bad romance.
Parmok, it's romance with violent overtones. Undertones? Overtones? I don't know. With a bit of physicalness added into it.
I don't think there's any kind of Klingon romance that doesn't have a little bit of violence in it. I feel like, is there even a
well,
word?
Well, that's their default, yeah.
Right? Like, is there actually a word that doesn't have a violent undertone? There's no word for love.
Mm.
I feel like we're totally, like, going through. Favorite Klingon quote? Do you have a...
I am not a merry man. Yeah, that's probably the one quote that everybody knows. That's not really anything to do with Klingons, but I think it sums up Worf very well, because I think most Klingons are merry men.
Right. Yes.
Women, you know, it's just, but he himself is, he's a stickler for.
I love the moment where Kalar says, you know, not even a bite on the cheek for old time's sake. I just like that. I like that broad. She also, she has a really good moment because she's so sarcastic. And so, like, I love the fact there's so many great things that she says. And she, like, it was one of her first episodes. I think it was the first of the only two she's in. She, like, smashes a table right before Deanna Troi walks in. And Deanna Troi is like, are you upset? And she's, or you're upset. And she's like, you're a finely honed beta zoid.
Senses telling you that.
Like, she's like, well, that and the smash table, you know, like, but super cute.
Yeah, it's actually a lot of good episodes. Her death scene is great.
And you even get a death howl in that moment.
And I think it's very powerful because of Alexander being there.
Yes. Because she grabs his hand and, like, puts it in Worf's hand.
And up until that point, we're not 100% sure.
Right. Like, we're pretty sure that that's his kid. Their ridges are pretty similar.
But you never can tell with these.
What do you think about that episode when in Voyager when Bianca was split in two?
Where the
she was human and
cool. Oh, yeah.
When the guys, what are they, the Vidians?
The Vidians, yeah.
Split her in half.
I did see that one. I actually saw that recently.
It was a good episode.
It's interesting because it what I thought was so fascinating about that was it, like, pulled out the most, like, aggressive of Klingons and the most, like, demure of humans. They were such extremes, which I thought was really fascinating, because then when you put them together, they both balance each other out so well. But the fact that her human was so, like...
But it's that original series episode with the dog with the horn on its head, right? Where they make two dogs.
Right.
It's that same concept. They're doing
it
again.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Good Kirk Becker. Yeah, it's that same thing. It's the good side of her is the human side. Good.
Right.
The bad side is the Klingon
side.
But take a look at her Klingon side, and she would be a formidable person to fight.
Right. But, and it's funny, though, because, like, her human side was almost worthless. Like, she was so afraid of everything, and so, like, just...
Cowardly.
She was,
right,
it was really cowardly, while her Klingon half was just, like, a freak. It was a Boy Scout, almost, like, or Girl
almost
Scout.
Almost reckless. To
she was, right. She was like, we're going to get out of this. Let's go. I mean, it's that perfect. It's just like what I was talking about before we really even started, where I'm like, I'll just jump right in. I don't... Consequences? Oh, well, let's just figure it out. We'll figure it out as we go.
Once she gets split, that demonstrates very well the difference between Klingons and humans.
Yeah.
And then when they recombine her again, it kind of brings balance to the Force.
Well, it reminds me, too, because Kalar talks a lot about that. In that first episode, her halves, and the fact that she very much feels her Klingon half as, like, almost like a separate entity, and it's so angry, like, all the time.
She has to keep it under control.
Yeah, it's interesting that there have been at least two hybrid characters. Oh, well, and then there's, I actually wear her ridges. One day I'm going to be at a convention and somebody's going to see me when I'm in my big red wig with my ridge set and is going to recognize my ridges. Someday. It's Bael.
Oh.
Romulan Klingon hybrid girl. But not today. Well, now you're going to know. Tomorrow when you see me around the convention in my big red wig, those ridges are Bael ridges.
This is another good episode because it Worf trying to teach his textbook Klingonness to other Klingons.
To other Klingons who are now, like, friends with Romulans.
Right.
So messed up.
Since you left the question, did Bael have to stay on the planet or did she go with the kids?
I think she went. I think that's what it was implied at the end of it, was that she left.
Yeah, but if she went back to the home world, as soon as they see those points on her ears...
She
can have a new job.
she can have her ears removed. Well, now she'll fit right in, right? Because all the Klingons have pointy ears. So or pointy ear holes.
Ear holes. Their heads are a little odd. Right. Yeah. I'm not going to sit here. I'm enjoying Star Trek Discovery. I am not going to shade it.
Oh, it's a great show. I see them from
the
side.
The Klingons look look different. Yeah. Whatever.
It just reminds me of the Conehead sketch. Yeah. Like it's falling backwards a bit, but it's still.
Yeah. I look forward. Supposedly, we're going to get some explanation at some point. I don't know. Alan's just going to sit here and shake his head.
He's going to be like, I don't know.
Supposedly, I don't know. We'll see.
I don't know if they're that far ahead.
Well, wouldn't that be the same situation between the original series and Next Gen when they tried to have Worf explain what was the situation between both?
Oh, well, he didn't say anything. He said,
We don't talk about that.
I do like the fact that Enterprise actually tried to explain it a little bit, and I was like, all right, that's, you know, whatever, but...
I would have been much happier had they not even addressed it. And if when they went back and did the Trials and Tribulations episode on K7,
yeah,
and if Worf just looked like the rest of the 1960s Klingons.
Right.
See, that would have been funny if he'd stepped out of the time machine type thing and everyone would be like...
No, nobody noticed. Nobody notices. Nobody even addresses it. that's just the way they looked back then.
Right.
You know, it's no big deal.
Like he takes his hat off and it's just smooth under there and he puts it back on again or something. Just...
Yeah, the smooth, bumpy forehead debate rages on.
She'll never end.
We did a short in Minneapolis comedy show years ago with the Ferengi selling Klingons what was called a refrigerator, which largely consisted of a pan and a big hammer for those that were born without bridges.
Do you have we've been kind of going through, do you have a favorite Klingon moment? Like, is there a, have we touched on it already?
It's a tough one. There's so many good ones. I think going back to that core where he successfully defeats the Jem'Hadar and holds them off and everybody's totally surprised that he managed to do it.
He pulled it off.
They're like, how did this old man do it? You know, and it's just like it testament to Klingon ingenuity and perseverance.
And like that he knew what he needed to do. I mean, he did it once before and sort of, you know, they talk about like, but he talks about that battle, although it was the failed battle, wasn't it? Where he's like, he's like stuck in that memory. Oh, I'm losing buzz.
I don't know. I think it's like the battle of something or other. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm really bad about memory. That's why I have notes.
I'd have a whole book.
That scene in You Are Cordially Invited when Sirella shows up on the ship and... he's like, my lady, and she's like, you've gained weight. and he goes, my deterioration is proceeding apace. She's like, I thought you would have been in the grave by now. Yeah. He's like, I shall endeavor
to die
this year if possible. and the battle rages on, and the war is yet again won by Sirella.
It's interesting that she finally gives in, though, with the whole Jadzia Worf thing, because she doesn't like either one of them. She didn't like Worf joining.
Right.
And now she tried to stop Dax, but in the end.
She gave in. She did kind of lose that battle, in a way. Although, I mean, Jadzia is kind of, she's a badass.
Right, I think that's more of what it is. it more shows that Jadzia can hold her own.
She can totally hold her own. She's a better Klingon than Worf. I said it.
A surgery.
Wait, what?
Oh, she needs was a surgery.
Oh,
What about you? Do you have any favorite other favorite moments?
I think I hit on that one. I love.
What about John? Does he have any favorite Klingon moments?
Favorite
Klingons? You guys have pretty much touched on them, yeah.
Okay.
the thing I really like, my impressions of the whole Klingon thing with Star Trek Enterprise, Deep Space Nine, and Voyager more goes to the gradual introduction of everything about being a Klingon that runs through the whole thing, not just one particular moment, but that they keep building
right
on each other.
Yeah,
they keep developing that culture.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were on a good roll there for a while, building it up. And they kind of had it set, and then they started to do some odd things. Like Voyager, the episode with the Voyager Klingons is very kind of strange.
Right.
Because they're very different from what we had perceived as Klingons. Because they've got these weird rituals and
that actually
prayers and stuff.
I love the fact, one of the things that I think is kind of cool about Discovery is we're getting a little, even like some extra weird things thrown in there. And I love the fact that like T'Kuvma's ship is sort of this strange religious cult to like, they're basically a cult. And nobody else is dressed like, nobody else really dresses like them, and nobody else really does all some of these like crazy things that they very specifically do on that ship. And they are almost, I mean, he is supposedly sort of their like second coming of Kalis.
Right.
And so like you have that, and that like what does that mean? And then they have their rituals. They have some like different death rituals and things that they do with their dead and the sarcophagus ship and things like that, which I just was like, yeah, that's like some Dothraki harebell stuff going on there. Like you've got like a ship that's that has it's dead on the outside and like all of these honorable warriors who've gone off to the Black Fleet, but then their bodies are out there like being like, we're coming to get you. Like this,
we're armor plating.
Yeah, like they get to, their bodies continue on and continue to fight even while their like souls are off in the Black Fleet. I mean, that's crazy.
It is, and it's strange that all of that comes from Klingon mummification glimpse in Star Trek 4, I think it is, because that's the first time, that's the only time that anything to do with mummification and Klingons is mentioned. I don't think anywhere else
oh,
in any of the show. I don't think it's even in like the final reflection. I don't think it's even mentioned in there. So it's one little glyph that we see extended all the way to become this.
And supposedly,
this ship.
The picture of that Klingon mummification glyph that you see on the testing computer
mm-hmm.
in Star Trek 4, that's somewhere
on
the
set.
The sarcophagus ship in the set.
Nice.
Yeah. Surprise. Right.
But it's supposed to be there.
I thought that was just really cool. Like to me, the Klingons in the new. When we get to the original series, Kirk like hates the Klingons so much. Like it's like this fire in his belly. How much he hates the Klingons.
My dear Captain Kirk. My dear Captain Koloff.
Yeah. That's an amusing
mm-hmm.
interaction with Klingons.
And so like you have that. You have this hatred, and it's like, where did this hatred come from? Like, I mean, they don't look all that intimidating.
Klingon
no offense, guys, back
son.
There. but, like, what is it about these Klingons that made them so scary and so terrifying and would engender that kind of rage in someone? And then you, like, meet these Klingons in Discovery that supposedly are, like, 10 years earlier, and they are terrifying! Like, they are, like, the Klingon nightmare under the freaking bed kind of terrifying. Like, I feel like they're the Klingons you tell stories about to your kids to be like, don't be bad, the Klingon's gonna get you, and, like, they are the scary Klingons
the scary
that are gonna
ones,
do that.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of okay with it all, and I know other people weren't, and, whatever, to each his own, but I was like, those are some scary, scary, scary looking Klingons. And I like Klingons, but they scare me. So.
Scary.
But, John, you mentioned the thing about culture. Do you have, like, a favorite sort of cultural thing? Or, like, a little, like, bit of history or like, that we learned at some point? Or, like, a.
Wow, that's a tough question. Favorite culture? There's so much little bits of culture scattered around all the place. I think the A Matter of Honor, where they're all sitting around eating, and one or both is Riker's punchline to the whole thing.
Yes.
It says the females will be willing to feed you later, and they seem totally serious about it as
right.
well. And, it's kind of joking,
but they're also
also kind of serious. So it's the culture we see there of almost not a total lack of inhibitions, but they're much more free with themselves.
Right.
And much more open than humans are. We tend to be much more sheltered when it comes to that kind of kind of side of things. Like, you don't know what those Klingon ladies are going to do to him.
I don't know how I missed this at some point. I mean, I do, because I am constantly, like, my brain is going in 20 different directions, even when I'm watching something. I was told that the sword of Kalis was forged from his hair.
That's the legend.
Yes. The legend? I was like, that's so cool. I don't know why. I just thought that was a really cool little bit of history. Or whatever. I mean, it's more mythology in some ways, because it probably was not actually forged out of his hair. But I like the fact that Klingons believe that. I also like the fact that Klingons killed their gods. I'm a fan of that right about now.
And that's one of those confusing things. So Klingons killed their gods, yet the guy who killed the Klingon gods got damned to do something in the afterlife. Who damned him if there's no gods left? I'm confused, you know.
Right.
Is it the way cause and effect works?
In some extra dimensional plane of existence? If you manage to get into to Grethor and find the gods and kill them, then I guess.
Right.
Wasn't the Feklar one of their gods?
No, the Feklar is just the guardian of Grethor.
Yeah.
He's supposed to.
Kerberos.
Right. He's supposed to stop people from getting in and out. And Kalis sneaks in there at some point and frees his father, I think it is, and brings him back. And that pisses off the Feklar. And then he makes a deal with Kotar to create Stovakor and all this kind of stuff. The Pakbak goes into the entire legend of Kalis and the entire story behind it and how he does and the whole fighting with his brother for 40 days and 40 nights and all of this kind of stuff. It's all covered in that. It's a fun story.
Does that exist? Where does that exist?
Amazon. You can buy the Pakbak on Amazon.
Yeah, I think I might not have brought mine with me this weekend.
I don't think I nearly added one to the Klingon language package back there, but I unfortunately couldn't find a spare copy. I only had my normal.
I guess I'm gonna have to go on Amazon.
Yep.
Is it actually in Klingon?
Yeah, it's
is
translated
it
by Mark. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
The things I learn when I do my.
The first Kebab in Chicago, the one that went along with the Worldcon. One evening, I think it was just before dinner. It might have been just after dinner. Mark O'Krend brought out a bunch of sheets of paper and said, "Would anybody like to help me with this?" And he wanted people to proofread it.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's. He's here this weekend.
He is somewhere.
Has anybody seen him yet? Mark O'Krend's here this weekend. I guess that's pretty much all I have.
I have a favorite little tidbit of Klingon culture from the original series, the episode Friday's Child. There's one Klingon on the planet doing negotiation with whatever these people are. I don't remember their names. And he comes up and says, "And what does the Federation offer you? Potions and powders for the sick. We Klingons believe as you do, the weak should die."
Yes.
Which is an attitude I'm glad has not wandered into fandom.
Wait and see. I don't
know. one of my favorite attitudes or cultures that we've ever was actually on one of the books was Q and Y. The line in there is Roxana Troy and Q are going to meet, for the first time, and they're going, "What are we going to do?" And we're going to sell tickets. It's going to be great. Sell tickets.
That's pretty much, I think, our time. So we talked about Once More Onto the Breach, good Klingon episodes. You Are Cordially Invited, we talked about. Day of the Dove got mentioned. Looking for Parmok in All the Wrong Places got mentioned. So just go watch Deep Space Nine, really. That's really what it comes down to.
Especially season 4 onward.
Yeah.
And there's the Klingons. We're throwing a party tonight and tomorrow night. 362. And I'm performing tomorrow, Pop and Rock translated into Klingon at 1 p.m. on the main stage. And yeah.
And there's a raffle back there.
There's a raffle Christmas. Back there for cool stuff, Klingon-y things. So yeah, that's our panel.
What's the next panel?